the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. Fresh off a Memorial Cup win last season, the London Knights are so far 0-2 this season, although many of their star players are still away at NHL camps. But they're getting some reinforcements, starting with their game this Friday against Brampton. So today I'm talking with London Free Press sports reporter Ryan Pyatt about how the Knights are shaping up for this season. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Hey, great, Rachel.
Good, good. The Knights are the most successful franchise in junior hockey in the last 20 years. I know you just wrote a story about that. Yeah. So do you think we have a good chance at the Memorial Cup again this year? Can we do 2 years in a row again, do you think?
Anything's possible.
Start with the big question.
Yeah, anything's possible. You know, I don't think anybody expects that, but there's some really good teams like Brantford, Windsor and Kitchener are all very, very good. But, you know, you can't discount London. They're always good annually, perennially.
And always, yeah.
And I think I think this team in particular will get better as the season goes on. It's typical of the Knights teams the last few years. They got a lot of guys gone at NHL training camps and they don't get out of the gate really quickly. It's not like 2005 when they had the lockout and they won 29 out of their first 31 games.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like that anymore. So, they tend to struggle the first couple of weeks and then, pour it on and get better. And they've always been difficult to knock out in the playoffs. And I think that'll be another case, this year. I expect them to go a couple rounds anyway. Like I'd be surprised if they lost in the first round of the playoffs at the end of
right.
the year.
Yeah. Is the Memorial Cup banner up now? Do we have that hanging at Canada Life Place?
Yes, it's up. And along with the other ones, like the OHL Championship and all that, it's getting pretty crowded up there.
Yes, we're going to run out of space.
Yeah, running out of space fast. Good. It was a great, it was a very quick ceremony. Like the Knights always, they keep it rolling and get the game going, drop the puck kind of thing. And, they had a tough start and lost their first game, but there's so many kids in the lineup and so much to look forward to. There's a lot of good players on the team this year that people will get to, like, just like Cowan, Bonk and Barkey, they'll get to know these guys too and, you know, see how they play over the next couple of years.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's talk about some of the players because we're missing some, or we have been, but there will be some coming back for Friday's game. Is that right?
That's right. Alexei Medvedev, the Canucks, the second rounder, he was sent back and he's going to be the main man in net this year with the graduation of Austin Elliott, who barely ever lost with in a London Knights uniform. Everybody knows 55-3, right? And Alexei had a very good year last year, a great rookie season, and he's supposed to build off it. And I expect him to be one of the best goalies in the league. Noah Reid's back from Anaheim and just has that work ethic. And I think he'll score. He'll add to the scoring, which the Knights really need. Like I'd say that the goaltending and the defense are strong, but the goal scoring is still up in the air. Who's going to get goals for this team? Will it be the younger guys? Will it be the older guys? And of course, Sam O'Reilly, he's been a first line center last year, and he's expected to do that this year with another 4 or 5 months since the Memorial Cup under his belt. He should be one of the best players in the league. Tampa Bay sent him back, and he's going to have a big impact on the Knights this year. And should be, if he's their MVP, then they're going to have a real good team this year.
Are we expecting anyone else to be coming back maybe? Or two questions. Who are some of the other star players that we should be keeping an eye on this year? Maybe they've developed a little last season and over the summer. Who should we be watching for?
I guess all the overage guys are all gone. Like the guys that are eligible to be 20 this year, Barkey, Bonk, Cowan, don't expect those guys to come back. They're gone. Sam Dickinson, because he was only 18 last year, he could come back from the Sharks. 19 is very difficult to make the NHL as a teenager, like Drew Doughty did it, but there hasn't been very many guys in the last 20 years at that age that have cracked an NHL lineup. But we all expect Sam O'Reilly, or sorry, Sam Dickinson to make the Sharks. And if not, at least be there for a very, very long time. And he has to either come back to London or stay in San Jose. That's the only two options he has under the collective bargaining agreement this year. That may change next year, but as of for this year. So, but I don't think anybody expects him back. He's such a good player. Everybody saw how much he does. I mean, he led the Knights in scoring last year, the CHL Defenseman of the Year. I don't expect him back at all. So if you're holding out your breath for that, stop doing it, because I'm pretty sure he's gone. You mentioned the players this year. I'll start up front, like Logan Howry, who was the Knights' first-round pick last year, played a little bit, but such a good team. Didn't get a ton of ice time, and then ended up playing in St. Thomas, kind of like that. That it's rare the kind of the teams send their first round pick to the junior B ranks, but he did. He went down there, scored a bunch, scored with the Knights pretty well, like for the limited ice time he had. And I think expect a big year out of him. And then everybody's been watching Jackson Colbert because he's such a striking, phenomenal offensive player. Like, he scored a goal in the first game in Owen Sound. That's like not many guys can score that goal. And everybody kind of started to know his story, where he only learned to play hockey 5-6 years ago. He grew up in Grand Cayman in the Cayman Islands, and he played roller hockey, and then ended up coming. His dad is from Etobicoke near Toronto, and he ended up going to St. Andrew's College and playing. Starting to get more, into the ice hockey. Played there, became a star there, and then, you know, the Knights picked him, and now he's looks like he might be an NHL first round pick. Has that kind of talent. And then the other guy that I think everybody's going to look to is 6'8" Kazakh defenseman Maxim Solkovsky. He's been so good.
6'8", my goodness.
Yeah, he's 6'8", but he's not. You know, some guys, teenagers that are that tall are really skinny. This guy's big. He reminds me like a bigger version of Nikita Zadorov when he was here about 10 or 12 years ago. And he's just phenomenal. You can tell guys are scared to go in the corners with him. But he can handle the puck too. He scored in the league he played in the U.S. last year. He scored 25 goals and got like 80 points. And he's handling the puck really well. And I think there's the guy. So I think basically London's going to have a chance to have three NHL first rounders with Howry, Kovar and Sokolovsky, which is very rare. I mean, the Knights have done it twice before, a surprise, but I think they can do it again this year. And that's incredible. And that means that the team the following year and the year after that are going to be contenders again.
Yeah, we really know how to pick them.
There's a lot of good stories I think that we'll tell throughout the season about how Mark Hunter, you know, is able to find these guys and all that. But he's one of the hardest working guys in hockey. Everybody knows that. He's at rinks that, like, some people have called me over the years and said, can you believe Mark Hunter's at this random rink in New Jersey or something like that? And like, it's like, and then you'll talk to him like later in the day and he'll be back in like at another rink in Toronto. And it's like the schedule he still keeps, even though, you know, he's in his 60s now, and that is unbelievable. And he has a big passion to win and to build this hockey team up. And that's kind of been the lifeblood of how these kids that we see year after year come in. That's where it starts, right?
Yeah. What are some of the strengths for this year's team? I know one of your stories, you talked about goaltending. Do you think that's the biggest one for us this year?
Yeah, I think you're going to get consistent goaltending because as good as Medvedev is at 18 years old, he has a 19-year-old backup in Sebastian Gatto, who played the first couple of games for the Knights and looked pretty good. He's a junior veteran. He played out in the BCHL. He played in Leamington. He knows his way around junior hockey and junior shooters, and a big guy and a very good – it's nice to have a backup. Some teams would go, oh, we got Medvedev 18. We better get a 16 or 17-year-old backup. And then you don't know what you're getting, but you're getting like a solid veteran presence behind Medvedev. So really good there. And I think the defense is – not only are they pretty sturdy and big this year, they're really mean too. And I mean that in a – they're obviously taking too many penalties out of the gate here. They got to cut back on that. But it seems like that's been a team for the Knights for the last 3 or 4 years is they got to reel in their discipline kind of thing. But I really like their defense. I think it could be one of the best in the league as a whole. I don't think there's other Henry Bristavich and Jared Woolley will obviously be the leaders when they come back on the blue line. But there's a lot of guys there that will make it a very you don't have to play. In the past, you might want to go to 3 or 4 defensemen late in the game. And I think this team, you might be able to roll like 5 or 6 defensemen. And it'll be competitive for ice time. There's like 7 or 8 guys that are really good players here.
Let's look around the league a bit. You mentioned some of the other great teams. Who are kind of London's, who's really a good match for us this year? Who's going to be one of our biggest rivals or some of our biggest rivals?
Yeah, it really hasn't changed in 40 years. It'll be okay. Windsor and Kitchener again. Yeah. will be the rival. I think if the Knights want to do anything this year, they're going to have to go through them. They already played right. Windsor, but that's like it was almost like an exhibition game because there's not very many guys back. So there'll be games later in the year that featuring those two teams. And of course, you know, Kitchener hates the Knights so much. There's such a rivalry there from their perspective that's going to be when the Knights go into the odd, that'll be a tough matchup. And Kitchener's really good. And I think on the other side, we're looking at Brantford. Brantford just has a really strong team coming back from last year. Mm. And they got new ownership with Zach Hyman and his family. Zach is still with the Oilers. His family's kind of taken over there. And they got a lot of momentum going. And, you know, they traded for Ryder Bolton for a little bit of toughness and all that and from London. And they're going to be a real, real good team this year. And I expect them to add some players. You know, we always see that at the deadline, right? Adding players and stuff. I think they're going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Knights have played Windsor. And when they were in Windsor, the glass shattered behind the Knights bench. That, like, what a spectacle. And there was a video of that you shared. But what happened with that? And is everybody okay?
Yeah, it was a shocking scene. So Windsor had scored a goal and the guys are banging on the glass. The fans are banging on the glass in behind the Knights bench, which they do in many rinks. It kind of, they think they're distracting the coaches or they're just making noise kind of thing. And this one shattered just like you see when a puck was shot through glass or whatever. And it appears that it wasn't that plexiglass. It looks like tempered glass, like the old days, the old style glass. Yeah. And it shattered and it came right down on Dale Hunter. And you can tell that he was kind of, and in this day and age, when you see glass break and all that, it's very scary. You don't know, like, why, where'd that come from, right?
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
It showered down on him, and you can see he kind of stumbled, but he grabbed the boards there before he fell over. And it was lucky he was facing the ice, because with glass like that, the last thing you want is someone to get a shard in the eye or, a little piece in the eye. And it hit him. It cut him a little bit. In the hands, but and it hit a player. But other than that, everybody came out unscathed, which was, you know, very good to see. And obviously, the OHL is investigating. We found out that this week they're doing a review, and I'm sure there's going to be some sort of changes. Obviously, not the Spitfires, nothing to do with the Spitfires. They're just holding the game at the rink. But sure. City Windsor, WFCU Center, they got to look at that. That really shouldn't happen. I mean, I remember
what kind of. Yeah. Material was there, right?
I mean, there's always fluke stuff, right? But I remember a couple of years ago in Owen Sound, they didn't have the boards fastened tightly, and Casper Holtonen got checked through the boards, like the door of the boards opened, and he went right through. And I was like, wow, that's pretty dangerous, right? And you got a guy that's like a NHL prospect, and he ended up OHL playoff MVP, could have been badly hurt, right? Mm-hmm. So these leagues got to get with. I know a lot of people use the arenas. And they use it for everything. But, you know, we're talking about teenage kids here. We better, you know, and a 65-year-old coach, right? So we got to up our standards. And I know the OHL has brought new Commissioner Brian Crawford. He's really on that. He wants all the rinks to be safe. And that's the bottom line that we expect, right?
So, yeah, of course. Yeah. Speaking of coaches, Dale Hunter is going to be coaching the Canadian World Junior team this year. And Mark's going to help pick the team. Is that right?
That's right. And I think after two losses, you kind of, They never made the medal round, and that's like shocking in Canada, right? Everybody gets upset when that happens. And Dave Cameron in Ottawa, he was they had no one liked him coaching the team, so the way he coached the team. So they went back to the Hunters, and the Hunters did it in 2020 in Ostrava, in Czechia, and they won the gold medal. After everyone remembers, they got bombed by Russia early in the tournament, and then they came back, and everyone was like, "Ah, oh, these guys are brutal," and then they came back and won the whole thing. So I think they went back to the well here and said to the Hunters, "Help us out." And you get a lot of cachet when you get Dale Hunter. I think whatever people think of the Knights or whatever people think of him and his playing career, he's been an incredible junior hockey coach, and everybody acknowledges that. And it's a good time for Canada to go back there. And tough assignment going into Minnesota in the U.S. and the U.S. is a very good program right now, so it's gonna be difficult, but they like the challenge, right? So that'll be good for everybody to see that.
We can't wait to watch it.
Yeah,
One last thing. You talked about how the Knights dressing room was totally renovated. So what did they do, and what does that mean for the team? Like, how does that kind of, why, you know, how do, I guess how is that, how's that going to help the players this year?
like 20 years ago or 22 years ago when they built the rink, they gave the Knights their own space and a dressing room, and it was good. But over 20 years, you outgrow things. You see what other teams do, and obviously now you're competing against the NCAA, who has these incredible dressing rooms and facilities. That's where the players can go, and they go on visits, right? And so now I think when you go to London, the dressing room is about almost twice the size as it was before. So there's all kinds of extra space. There's more space for physiotherapy, more space for equipment management. Obviously the area where the stalls are, if everybody's seen what those look like, where all the players kind of sit around the logo and all that, that's very similar, maybe a little bigger. But then the coaches' room will be much bigger. There'll be a bigger weight room, and there's one thing that's really nice is they have a space for the Knights, and I've seen this in other OHL dressing rooms. Is they have like a little lounge where the players can sit, watch video, just watch shows, and kind of bond together, which is instead of everybody just crammed in on top of each other kind of thing. So a very, very needed one renovation, and it's good that it all fit together with what they're doing over at Canada Life Place by extending the building, and although it's been under construction seems like for all summer, right? So and they're still plugging away at it. The dressing room is not, I haven't been in there yet, other than when they're just putting the guts in, and it's gonna take a bit, but it'll be first class when it's all completed. It'll be first class and be the envy of many of the junior organizations in Canada, which is good, because that's you expect a team like the London Knights to have a good dressing room, and they do now.
They do. Great. Well, we can't wait for this season. I think it'll be another great one. And we'll continue to watch your stories at lfpress.com. I'm sure you'll have a lot more on the Knights for us. Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Rachel.